though.
Welcome. This is session 264. Can everybody hear? This is session 264. Something Wiki This Way Comes, an analysis of the Mormon content on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a web-based encyclopedia project offering free access to millions of articles in a variety of languages, written and edited collaboratively by volunteers worldwide. A portmanteau of a Hawaiian word meaning fast or quick, and encyclopedia. Wikipedia offers a quick and easy way to access information online. In addition, perhaps its most significant feature is that new entries can be added and or edited by nearly anyone willing to follow its guidelines. I'm quoting from, there are many wikis online, explains Deseret News writer Michael DeGroote. But Wikipedia, which celebrated its 10th anniversary in January of this year, is the mother of all wikis. Everything about it is huge, DeGroote continues. I'm quoting from him. Wikipedia is the world's fifth most visited website. More than 400 million people consulted every month. Almost 100,000 unpaid volunteers edited 17 million encyclopedia-style articles in 270 languages, 3.5 million articles of which are in English, unquote. And a growing number of them are about Mormonism, its doctrines, personalities, places of significance, and practices. This panel will analyze the breadth, accuracy, balance, and authorship of the LDS content on Wikipedia, as well as suggest topics for entries yet unwritten. In fact, you might be thinking of some of those yourself, and as you listen to the presentations today. Panelists include me, Lori Winder, as well as the following: John Hamer, a contributor to the Wiki Project Latter-day Saint Movement, is president of the John Whitmer Historical Association and editor of John Whitmer Books. Kay Gaisford, who has an MA in communications, works as a desktop publisher and family historian, and is a computer skills instructor in Arizona. Kaimi Pono, or Kaimi Wenger, also holds a JD from Columbia, is an assistant professor at Thomas Jefferson Law School in San Diego, and a blogger extraordinaire, well-known in the LDS online community, or blogger NAFL. Karen Rosenbaum, a retired college English teacher and writer of short fiction, personal essays, and articles, is a former fiction editor for Dialogue. In large part because of the smashing success of the Tony Award-winning Broadway play, The Book of Mormon, two LDS candidates seeking the Republican nomination for president of the United States, and the controversial involvement of Mormons in the campaign against same-sex marriage, Mormonism has never been more visible on the American cultural landscape. Curiosity about Mormon belief and practice necessarily follows such exposure. It is not surprising that our presence online in general and on Wikipedia specifically is expanding as well. However, the territory Mormonism occupies on the online encyclopedia is not uncontested. In a recent article in the Deseret News, Wiki Wars, in Battle to Define Beliefs, Mormons and Foes Wage Battle on Wikipedia, Michael DeGroote suggests that two main factions battle for control of Mormon articles on Wikipedia. On one side are Mormons who want articles to leave room for belief. They want positive facts of history to be prominent. On the other side are people who don't believe in the LDS Church. They want, again, I'm quoting from him extensively, they want negative aspects of history to take precedence. Both sides think they are being neutral, as I suppose DeGroote thinks he is, creating a truly neutral site. I'm still quoting from him. Creating a truly neutral site may be difficult, as one editor posted. There is just not much middle ground between prophet and imposter. So the fight wages on. Editors have to stay constantly vigilant to stop edits they don't want, relying on automatic notifications of changes sent to their email and spending hours defending their positions, unquote. As you can imagine, my feeling about this, DeGroote's characterization lacks nuance. But the problem of interpretation, particularly when dealing with religious tradition, is very real. The church itself, officially has a hands-off policy with regard to Wikipedia. I actually called the church office building the other day and talked to Tom Owen in church public affairs. So, according to Tom, in the church public affairs department, it's impossible to control the Mormon content on the site. And he claims, no one is specifically assigned by the church to monitor, edit, or contribute to it. However, as DeGroote points out, there are those who recognize that, quote, they can't ignore the impact of the internet, including LDS Apostle Russell Ballard, who spoke at the BYU Hawaii graduation on December 15, 2007, about challenges facing the church on the internet. Conversations will continue whether or not we choose to participate in them, Ballard asserted, but we cannot stand on the sidelines while others, including our critics, attempt to define what the church teaches, unquote. There are a number of LDS and non-LDS individuals and groups concerned with the way Mormonism is portrayed on web-based reference sites such as Wikipedia. Their makeup and response varies. Some, both Mormon and anti-Mormon, adopt the Wikipedia format and construct their own Mormon wiki sites, preferring to control the content completely. So we have this first category that wants to completely control the content that's on their site. The Encyclopedia of Mormonism, for example, is online in both its original format and Wikipedia-like formats. It looks very much like the Wikipedia website. Mormon Wiki, similarly concerned, but it's uneditable, if you will. Okay, so it completely the content is completely controlled. Okay, Mormon Wiki, similarly concerned with controlling its content, is an encyclopedia of Mormonism with a distinctly evangelical bias. Others like FAIR, the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research, and its FAIR Wiki, both selectively review the Mormon articles on Wikipedia, which have become stabilized or are less stabilized, meaning in a wiki speak, I guess, would be less contested. And they construct their own wiki space. According to their website, FAIR regularly receives queries about specific LDS themed. And I'm quoting from their website. Regularly receives queries about specific LDS-themed Wikipedia articles with requests that they somehow fix them. Although some individual members of FAIR may choose to edit Wikipedia articles, FAIR as an organization does not. Controversial Wikipedia articles require constant maintenance and a significant amount of time. They prefer, prefers instead to respond to claims in the FAIR Wiki rather than fight the ongoing battle that LDS Wikipedia articles sometimes invite. So they, in a sense, participate in the discussion, but they take it to their website. From FAIR's perspective, again, quoting from their website, assertions made in LDS-themed Wikipedia articles are therefore treated just like any other critical, or if one prefers, anti-Mormon work, unquote. Still others, such as Wiki Project Brigham Young University and Wiki Project Latter-day Saint Movement, encourage focused collaboration in both the writing and editing of Mormon articles for Wikipedia. So they fully participate in the project, but in a collaborative way. All of it's collaborative, but they provide a space for collaboration, if you will, a focused collaboration, if you will. Okay? The former concentrates, namely Wiki Project Brigham Young University, concentrates specifically, it claims, on topics related to BYU, and has as its stated goals, first, to enlist other participants in their efforts, and second, to help general authorities reach FA, that's Wiki Speech for Featured Article status. Now, I'm not sure quite how that relates to Brigham Young University, but those are their two stated goals on their website. Okay. My sense of the latter, namely the Wiki Project Latter-day Saint Movement, is that it aims to be broadly collaborative and tackles all topics related to Mormonism and the Latter-day Saint movement with an eye to accuracy, balance, inclusion, fairness, scrupulous documentation, and neutrality. Included on its site are statistics regarding the number and status of existing articles called on Wikipedia, calls for collaboration on articles not written or those that need attention, and comprehensive lists of wiki articles on Mormonism and the LDS movement. Who here, I'm asking all of you, has ever lampooned Wikipedia because of its imperfections? Yeah. And yet, who hasn't used it as a resource at one time or another? Who hasn't? Is there anyone in this room who hasn't ever used Wikipedia? Okay. All right. My own interest was sparked early this year by an article in the New York Times reporting that less than 15% of the contributors to Wikipedia were women. 15, that's 15%. 15%. Shocking, right? As a lifelong feminist activist, I was numbed by the fact that here was a completely open venue for participation in a process that potentially shapes the way we see our world, and women, historically barred from joining the conversation, were now voluntarily seeding the discourse. This has particular relevance for Mormon women, who are still left out of the conversation in the councils of the LDS Church. So, though a technophobe, I registered a domain name, and I'm in the process of building a website. It was a little help from my friends, actually a lot of help from my friends, that encourages all women, including Mormon women, to participate more actively as editors and authors of Wikipedia articles. The site is girlsgonewiki.org. Completely antithetical to that other Girls Gone site. And I invite your collaboration on that. See me after the session or email me at girlsgonewiki@gmail.com. And with that, we'll go in the order as stated.
Well, maybe as the first two here, unlikely panel to be talking about tech issues, because here I am. I'm actually did my presentation on a yellow pad. And I'm a little bit of a, I'm not a technophobe, but I'm also not a big, I'm primarily a book person, and my first love is print and books, and so therefore I always consider myself to be a somewhat unlikely participant or major participant, both in in the blogs and wiki and also online bulletin boards, but also there are so many advantages that all of those have. As a little bit way of background, for me, if you don't know anything about me, I was a childhood member of the LDS Church, but I didn't have any involvement in the LDS Church in adulthood, and then more recently, as an adult, I've come to join the Community of Christ, or the former RLDS Church. As a kid, growing up in the Midwestern U.S., in the 70s and 80s, my mom had an entire bookcase full of Deseret Book and Bookcraft books and those kind of things. And so I had that kind of information about Mormonism, and I had essentially nothing else. There was no other information available at all. So I had we had our World Book Encyclopedia. The World Book Encyclopedia had an entry on Mormon, and that was pretty much the only secondary or outside information that I really had access to even prove that Mormons existed outside of what we ourselves said about ourselves. And so when I became actually a doubting teenager and I started to kind of question some of Mormonism's claims, I didn't actually have any contact with any of the secondary sources. I guess if you'd probably been growing up in Utah, or if you were a more aware teenager, you might have been able to have all those things, or you might have subscribed to Sunstone or known Sunstone existed. But I hadn't, and so really after doing my study, I did my study based on essentially just looking at the scriptures. And so I stared at the facsimiles in the Book of Abraham, and I just looked at what I knew from being incredibly interested in history, and I said to myself, well, this first facsimile here is clearly, some, you know, a person be, you know, being and a mummy being embalmed, and there's even the four canopic jars underneath it. And so this started my own kind of research, and ultimately, as an 18-year-old, I ended up kind of writing this all down together in an essay, which only, you know, with the arrogance I think of an 18-year-old can have, I called "The Word of Reason." Printed it up, bound it. You know, I love books, so it made it look like a little book. And presented a copy to my mother, my long-suffering mother. You know, and it began again, like I say, with the problems with the Book of Abraham that I decided, and the problems with the Book of Mormon as an ancient document, what I extrapolated, therefore, Joseph Smith as a translator. And then I just tacked on what I felt were logical problems with Mormon theology, the plan of salvation, etc. My mom, you know, patiently looked through all that, and then at the end of it, she gave it back and says, "Well, this is nothing new." You know, it was new to me because I had not had any access to that. I had not had access to any of that information. All of that, you know. But as she rightly told me, when I did look outside of that and found out very quickly that I had, you know, blazed a trail that many had trod before, and that was obviously a possibly different era, you know, than what we live in today. Nobody is no longer, my experience that I had as a kid is no longer possible not only for any Mormon kid, but also just for anybody. There isn't a single person who, you know, can live in that kind of, you know, information vacuum about this kind of topic or more or less any topic. You're no longer growing up in a situation where your one or uncorrelated source about Mormonism is the World Book Encyclopedia. Instead, we have a different encyclopedia. When you type Mormon into Google, the very first thing that comes up is Mormon.org, which is the LDS Church's missionary website for talking to non-members. But the next two are Wikipedia. Almost every other Mormon topic, if you type in Thomas S. Monson, anything you type in, the Wikipedia will often be just the first thing to come up. I came to Wikipedia, like probably most all of you did, you know, who are not immediately early adopters or, you know, running out. And I'm a late adopter of a lot of technology. I'm kicking and screaming sometimes, adopter, even on things like cell phones, which I can't text. Anyway, I'll get to that, to texting someday in the next couple of years. I came through Google, and, you know, and like everybody else, I was initially a skeptic, and especially I was dubious because of the initially poor quality, especially of Wikipedia articles in the early aughts. And, also I was somewhat dubious, you know, what more recently, you know, Stephen Colbert's kind of jokes about Wikipedia, which where he, if you know him, he is a phony conservative commentator, and he is able to, by getting the article on Stephen Colbert, you know, from Wikipedia, since Wikipedia is truth and is reality, but you can change truth and reality, and so he opens it up and changes it and says something new about Stephen Colbert, and that makes that true because that's Wikipedia. And so I also kind of initially assumed that that must be how Wikipedia functioned, and so I thought, well, how good can this ever, what can ever come of this if everybody can just constantly write any such thing? But then I started to look at it a little bit more seriously, especially in my own fields, which are, on the one hand, my actual background and degrees is medieval cartography. So on the one hand, I'm working on what the Wikipedia had to say about medieval maps and that kind of thing, and it's actually pretty poor still, what it has on that topic. And then on my other topic being Mormon history. And in the course of doing that, at one point or other in 2005, some article, and I don't remember what it is, something stood out in an article on a Mormon history topic where there was an error that made me mad. And so at that point, I clicked edit, and I crossed that threshold from being an occasional kind of Wikipedia user to being a participant, even if I was only a participant in less, you know, kind of an occasional marginal way where I'm like, okay, that is not the case, and so edit or whatever. And so in that regard, I started to, have an experience with what's going on behind Wikipedia, which is much more substantial than what Stephen Colbert would lead us to believe. And so, once at a certain point, then, you know, I then created not only just the login that a random person does that isn't identified, which isn't doesn't have any kind of high status on Wikipedia, and it may be even less possible to even do, to where you create a login, so you're a known user, and you start making more than just occasional edits, and so then I start to become more familiar with the wiki software. And if you've only kind of read Wikipedia instead of, and not actually opened up the trunk on it or opened up the hood on it and kind of looked at it, it's actually kind of an amazing piece of software. Every single change that you make, you know, is stored. Every single thing that has been done, you know, on Wikipedia all the way back, all of those changes are stored. And then kind of an amazing bit of software, what you can do is you can actually go to all the earlier versions, you go to the current version, you press compare, and it compares and it shows every single change that's been made. It also stores who's made all of those changes, and if the people are doing it right and then they want to make their changes stick, they also have had to type in why they're making those changes so they explain it. And then after I found that out, then I also then realized, okay, well, wait a second, then there's also this, there's often these back-end discussions behind every single article. So as long as the article is, there's a discussion behind every single article why fighting about why it's that way. And sometimes those articles or the discussion is actually significantly longer than what the article has ended up being. And so then finally I started to make some substantive changes. And so not only correcting errors that made me mad or adding like whole sections where the article was just too tiny and it wasn't including things. And then I started to write articles. And as my own participation increased, then I also encountered the next layer of Wikipedia, which is not just this incredible software, but what is going on in terms of the volunteers behind the software and the communities that are existing within Wikipedia. Because once you start doing a bunch of stuff, then you come to the attention of all the people, the wiki people that are in there. And so a member of what is called now, I know, the Latter-day Saint Project, invited me to, as somebody who was actively participating in Latter-day Saint history articles, invited me to join this project, which is to say a group that is just a bunch of volunteers who are editing Wikipedia, that participate on that particular topic. So the volunteers kind of are in two kind of very broad categories. Some people who are simply what I would call like the backbone people who are just maintaining all of the Wikipedia standards, and they don't care particularly about which topic, but they're going topic across all the topics, and they'll go through and do some things like fix the grammar, fix citations. Whenever you're going on there, and you'll see a lot of times we'll say this article has been cited as one that doesn't have any footnotes in it, or this article doesn't have a neutral point of view, or this one is controversial, or they'll go through. Anytime you're reading in Wikipedia nowadays, you'll get like a sentence in and it'll say citation needed, mm-hmm. right? And so there are people who are volunteers who they just go, they're committed to the wiki project and essentially to the idea of creating an open source encyclopedia. And regardless of the topic and subject matter, they'll just read through and see, okay, well, you've made an assertion that a citation is needed. There's no citation here. We need that. And so they'll just go through and just do citation needed. And so they'll go around and leave those kind of things in. Or there's people who will just go through and, you know, they're grammar people and they just want to fix all the grammar. Or those kind of things, make sure that the links are working, or that there's not all these redundancies and things like that. And then there are groups of people that the Latter-day Saint Project that are essentially topical people. And so in the case of Lori's done some of the numbers here, but in the case of the Latter-day Saint Project, there's 96 people who were assigned up to the project, and the project is monitoring, I think, some 3,500 articles that are related to Mormonism. And so when that happens, you've described, you know, some of the wars that happen. When I first saw it, and one of the reasons that drew me to it back in 2005 when I started working on it, is what I was struck by the incredible scope that the audience had, in terms of actually getting this kind of information out to people. So if we look at like what the Sunstone subscription list is, or what even if I'm the editor of a small Mormon history press, what the number of even what would be a blockbuster book for us, we're talking about, you know, an audience of thousands at most, whereas with Wikipedia the audience is magnitudes higher. And so you know, I participated in that because these topics are so critically important to me, and it was also important to me that they also be treated here academically, and the and not devotionally or hagiographically or apologetically. And I was concerned right from the start that here you have this thing that's democratic, and the bulk of the people interested in this particular topic may not have learned their history at Sunstone. They may have learned their history in Sunday school. And so quite without without being any bad intent, they will want to edit articles to be the way they heard the story or the way they'd like the story told. And that wouldn't necessarily... I was concerned that there would be like kind of it would be very overwhelming, and so the potential for what in the Wikipedia I think it's called vandalism is high, where you could come in and vandalize an article and essentially by changing it and getting rid of the what had been an academically sound article and just replace it with something that's apologetic or something like that, and so this is what caused me to kind of commit to. It also, it's addictive. So once you start in on it, it's hard not to. So I wrote or substantially, I created or substantially contributed to about 50 articles on Mormon topics, including, I think I created and definitely wrote the article on Danites, the Missouri Mormon War, the Battle of Crooked River, all those kind of things. And, in a lot of cases, these are controversial topics that, where there's a lot of potential for say discredited or non-scholarly information to make their way in, and they would involve a bunch of different fighting sometimes if you are making assertions that there is the sources are there to back it up but aren't what but isn't the way the story has been told for a lot of people who may want to change it and fix it so it doesn't sound bad or bad to them. There are different ways where this has happened. So we've talked just a little bit about the goal of the open source project is that we are constantly trying to create a neutral point of view, and that isn't the easiest thing, especially when people have varying perspectives. But what has been surprising to me in the whole course of my experience on Wikipedia is the, despite the fact that those population groups are so different, how successful it actually is the techniques actually are at creating a legitimate academic neutral point of view. I mean, not every article is perfect on Wikipedia by far, but I'm not a perfectionist. I'm actually excited about the general trend lines and where they're all going. So there's a bunch of different ways where how that can be done. So one of the pitfalls that I actually can even do as a researcher who does original writing is I can get cited for that's original research. In other words, I may be saying something that's exactly right in my opinion or what I would write in an article, and I wouldn't have any problem, putting it in as a thesis, let's say, for an article that I'm going to publish in the Journal of Mormon History. But until I publish that in the Journal of Mormon History, that has absolutely no place on Wikipedia. And I didn't really realize that when I first kind of got involved, and I was essentially treating it as like another journal or a blog or something like that. So in other words, there is a reliance on, one of the things about that citation needed is that there is definitely a reliance on you need to be able to back up what you're doing, and as long as you're on very solid academic ground, that tends to push everything in a good neutral point of view perspective, and that's one of the helpful ways it happens. There's also, like I mentioned, there's these back-channel discussions that are constantly happening, and so when a change gets introduced, if it's radical, that will flag anybody who's watching that article. So if I was continued to watch my original Danite article that I was so proud of that was 3 pages long, anytime anybody would make some kind of a major change or even a little change, I would get a notice about that, and so then I could watch and see what they're doing and make sure that it's not not changing radically in some way that I completely don't think is a legitimate thing. And if I'm wrong or whatever, and they can actually argue it out, we can argue that on the back end, this discussion part of Wikipedia. There is this capacity that I said where all of the changes in Wikipedia are saved. One of the incredible things that can happen is that if much as a crazy vandalism happens to an article, the people who are monitoring it, essentially either set of the Wikipedia volunteers can choose to revert that article. So they'll cite that on the discussion page. They'll say, we are proposing that these changes have all been, you know, these changes are not these are not up to Wikipedia standards. They're introducing a non-neutral point of view. We're proposing that we revert this article back to the way it was before these vandalism or whatever happened. And if it's controversial, they'll propose it. Otherwise, they can just revert it without having to propose it. And so essentially what that means is all those changes are just wiped out, and we go back to an earlier form of the Wikipedia article. And then you can get, therefore, into a revert war, where the different people revert or whatever. But at that point, then it does get back into a discussion. It can go into different kinds of a volunteer arbitration. One of the things that happens under those circumstances, if it's too heated and the people won't, can't come to an agreement about that, is that experts can get called in. So one of my expert fields is all of the diverse expressions of Mormonism other than the LDS Church, so all the smaller churches in the Latter-day Saint movement. And so there was an article that, where a member of one of these churches was doing stuff that other people felt was just simply there was no published information about it, and it was too apologetic for their own church. And so as a person who is knowledgeable about that, who's a member of the Latter-day Saint Wiki Project, I got a bunch of emails and asked me to arbitrate it to back up with what they're saying, if that's valid, if I knew where sources were for those. So that kind of thing is also existing on the back channel. And then another tactic that the people are able to do to create kind of a neutral point of view, you'll often see at the end of each Wikipedia article, especially a controversial Wikipedia article, there'll be like a kind of a controversy section, you know. So essentially, out of the main narrative, instead of having a competition over the main narrative, it'll get pulled down to a section down here where we have a criticism section. So here's all of the criticisms that people have of Joseph Smith, or something like that. And if the war gets too hard, then the article can get locked, you know. So if it was probably Obama's article is locked all the time, I should think, you know. But anyway, something like that. What I was going to say about the Mormon content, what I did this morning is I went back to that Danite article, and even though there have been like multitudes of changes since then, you know, I'm actually very, very always surprised and pleased, I think. I mean, there's a bunch of wars that go on, but I haven't done a statistical analysis of what all of these different things are, but by and large, I go back to my articles that I've done, and a lot of times I'll see where I had planted a little tiny stub, like this incredible tree has grown, and it's often really quite good because of the way the standards or the DNA that got set up in the very first place happened. And so,
define stub, by the way.
A stub being a very tiny article. So I may have just said, look, we don't have an article here on William Law. William Law is really important. I wrote like a paragraph of, you know, who William Law was, and then I mark it as a stub or something like that. Later people come in and they'll fill it out and it'll become a full article. Or if I make a little article and I didn't write that it was a stub, one of these other people comes through and mark it, this is a stub. or they'll say, we suggest that this stub get merged into a bigger article on dissidents or whatever it would have been, you know, if nobody's willing to come and fill that kind of thing out. And so overall, my experience, you know, like I say, despite the initial skepticism and also my concerns about the sides in terms of multitude in a democracy here of what might have happened in terms of being overwhelmed, I've actually been really pleased with how Wikipedia has gone. And I myself, as somebody who is like I say, has studied and is so involved in the histories of all of the other churches in the Latter-day Saint movement besides just the LDS Church, one of the key things that I kind of had as a I injected in part into the DNA of the whole thing is, out of all these 3,500 articles, there is the way Wikipedia treats Mormonism, they always are talking about the Latter-day Saint movement, and then the LDS Church, which is part of the LDS, the Latter-day Saint movement. And Latter-day Saint movement is spelled with a big D, not with a little dash and a little D. And this is something that hardly anybody who's LDS is even aware of this distinction, but it's critically important to all of the other churches. And so what even in a giant and controversial article like Joseph Smith, it'll say now, Joseph Smith was a, you know, American prophet and founder of the Latter-day Saint movement. And Latter-day, and so, in other words, this is, and why I think that not only is that important to me, because that's my little tiny area of study, is to be looking at all these other groups. It's important because I think that that's, that itself is setting the tone for not being, not injecting presentism into the history, like they say, of the early movement, like Joseph Smith. So we don't know when Joseph Smith, you know, when Joseph Smith was alive, it wasn't necessarily all going to go, you know, to the LDS Church. When the succession crisis happened, it wasn't an overwhelming majority of people. There was all overwhelming majority of people of Nauvoo who went that way. And so, in other words, this is all important in history to have all this, and the fact that essentially this is at the basis or at the backbone of the entire 3,500 articles on Mormonism. It's very important to me, and I'm very happy that that worked out that way. So anyway, so that's my involvement with Wikipedia, and I'm very happy with what the project is. So.
Thanks.
So I have a handout here. I'm going to just ask you to pass
here.
Back.
Oh,
okay. Oops. Okay. So I'm taking a look at the representation of Mormon women, but really more specifically historical Mormon women. I put a few names on my list of contemporaries, but really it's mostly emphasizing historical Mormon women. And I'll refer to this handout in a minute. So as I was looking at the representation of Mormon women on Wikipedia, I decided to look at basically four things, how much information is on Wikipedia contrasted to how much we have available in print, and if we want to try and get more out there, how would we logically organize it, and what kinds of additional information should be on Wikipedia. As mentioned, that it's hard to put those beliefs on because the church wants to control that, and the same might apply to many issues that women are interested in. In the feminist movement today, so if we tried to put those issues on Wikipedia, is that an appropriate place to try to do it, because would they become the center of wars? If we do decide we want to try and do this in some kind of systematic way, how should we do it? Well, as I say, I began by looking at how much is out there. Mormon women's history got a late start. How many hundred and several decades of history before they really got around to talking to learning much about Mormon women other than Emma Smith and Eliza Snow and a few prominents. But in the beginning of the 70s, along with the regular new flowering of Mormon history under Leonard Arrington, we began to see a lot of Mormon women's history written. And many of these are all books out of my library. All I did was do a non-scientific sample of my own library, and there are many more things done since. But many of these are down there on the bookshelves today if you wanted to get any copies of these. So Claudia Bushman's book in 1976, Women in Early Utah, Sister Saints, which was a compilation in which, let me consult my notes here, my page. In which Vicki Burgess enlisted 18 other writers, and they tackled 25 historical Mormon women. And so she had various writers research and carefully research, lots of footnotes, lots of references. So it's good academic work about 25 19th century Mormon women. This 1981, Leonard Arrington, and he had already written in Dialogue some articles about some women, including Ella Shipp, the early pioneer doctor. And there were four women among his 16 profiles. 83, Housewife to Heretic, and Sonia Johnson's Feminist Journey. That one I don't think is downstairs on the tables as far as I know, but many of these others are. 1982, Women's Voices, again, 15 women. That again was done by three editors that put together the information, this time using lots of journals and letters from the women.
1984, Mormon Enigma, where we really had a fleshed out look at Emma Smith compared to the very shadowy black and white view previously, and followed by many others. These are just the ones that I happen to have in my library. Sisters in Spirit, Women in Authority, Women of the Covenant, Lucy's Book, which is a great book on Lucy Mack Smith. So we have lots of stuff out there. So looking around Wikipedia, looking at this chart, I should have left that till I talked about this. I listed the people that were in these books that I have, and that's on the left-hand list, all of the women that are in that. There's an author column of who wrote it. And over here is the number of words in Wikipedia. I've got a column that says number of pages. And if it says words, it's because it's in the Mormon Encyclopedia instead. So you have lots of zeros in the Wikipedia column about women that Mormon women historians thought were significant enough to spend time and energy researching and publishing about. So there's a lot of material that's good, solid academic material that's been published that's not on Wikipedia. So after I looked at Wikipedia to see who was and who wasn't there, then I looked around and I saw this page on women and Mormonism. And so this is what John is talking about. So the arbiter has put in this statement, this article contains weasel words, vague phrasing that often accompanies biased information. It says that they're, self-explaining that they're telling us, hey, this isn't very neutral in tone and unverifiable information. These should be clarified or removed. That was actually written in there in 2009, so it's been sitting there for 2 years and nobody's done anything about it. This particular article was started in 2004, and evidently the Wiki has a note that the Wiki project, Latter-day Saint Movement, has been involved in it, so I guess they haven't shown much interest in it. As Delory mentioned, about the 15% of contributors to Wiki being women, even though we have an awful lot of women historians working on things in the church, and I'm guessing tons of things coming out of BYU history, master's theses, and senior projects today. Lots of women are still writing about women in the church, and yet evidently not many of us are making the effort to get involved. I would be very surprised if we even had 15% participation in the Mormon articles that are on Wikipedia, but I did not try to pursue that line of inquiry. But anyway, so they've taken an interest. It was within the scope of the Latter-day Project, but they've so far done nothing on it.
This is the sad line right here. This is sad.
It's low importance.
That's right.
Star class on quality sale and low importance. That says it all, doesn't it? Back in 2004, it began pretty much, this is not the very first one, but I just picked up this one as an early version. It says the status of women has been a source of public debate beginning in the 19th century when the church became one of the few Western religions to practice polygyny. So there we got it, right out in front, we got polygamy. And then here's a comment that came in from the talk section. And this C. Ogden is very evidently still involved in the movement. You work with him, right, John? Mm-hmm. Is it him, I presume?
Do you know, I presume.
Somebody says it's my wife.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're talking to Cogden.
And it's being signed by, I guess it isn't signed, if I cut it off, if it was. My wife is annoyed. So the wife's not even writing in. She's having her husband make the complaint. Is annoyed that the influence of this article, with its emphasis on polygamy, while neglecting the influence of women in the church. She also doesn't like, blah, blah, blah. And a point of view check, 2006 there, from another part of the article, the idea that early Mormonism was women-friendly seemed like it might be original research. In other words, no citations. So Beeland, I guess he's one of those volunteers, right? John, is that what that would be? So there is a long page of edits from 2004 to currently. And in fact, if you look on the last page here, the last line, the last edit, most recent edit here, I've got a column for last date Wikipedia modified. It was just last 2 weeks ago, July 19th. And so let's see. I may have put with that one. Maybe in the next page. I can't remember the order I have things. But here's a paragraph from the body. And as you notice, there's nothing but citations needed. And that's why it's called a weasel article, a weak article. So we've got a lot of work to do on it. This one doesn't even have any footnotes, this particular section. However, there are six footnotes in it, as you see. I didn't copy down the whole part of it here. But all of those footnotes are pretty much from church, more or less standard sources. And yet, it's got a list of references that includes some of the types of things that I've pointed out, Maxine Hanks and writings about Patty Sessions and Carol Madsen, the Carol Cornwell Madsen. So it's making reference, but yet they didn't use footnotes. So I don't know why they bothered to, people who put this in bothered to include this if they weren't in the footnote. I'll actually use them as footnotes. But there are tons of footnotes in the printed material that can be put in there. But it seems to me that maybe would be a good place to focus our efforts on this very bad page that's of low importance and get started on it. So here's the revision as of June. So it's not actually the most recent one. And as you noticed in red there, it says full equal status. Somebody added full equal status in the updated version. So the edits can be very minor from time to time. There's a list of at least 100 edits on this article, even though it's only start quality. right now, the headings in the Mormon Wisdom are a little bit illogically arranged. Women in early Mormonism, women in the Latter-day Saints, Church of Latter-day Saints. Under that, frontier women in the U.S. Then for some reason, a whole new category, not a subcategory of women in the Church of Latter-day Saints. And then a subcategory under that, women in the community of Christ. So that seems like not a very logical way to organize the headings. We can start by reorganizing the headings, women in fundamentalist subgroups. So all we would need was women in early Mormonism, in other words, the Nauvoo period, and before the Exodus to Utah. And then frontier women, which would be more inclusive than in Utah, because you could bring in women who, for instance, one of the Saints Without Halos that Arrington featured was a colonist in Snowflake, Arizona. Can't remember her first name, but Flake. And then women in the 21st, and you can break it down, 20th century, then another heading for the 21st if you wanted. Women of other churches in the Latter-day Saints, and I mistakenly put, I should have...
Lowercase m.
No, you've got it right. That's right.
Okay. Well, anyway, they do it with lowercase d or something, is it?
No. You do.
Okay.
That's correct, Latter-day Saints.
That's correct.
You've got it right.
Okay. But as far as that went, I don't know what I had that one for. That shouldn't be there. So when you talk about women in the early Mormonism, there are tons of people on this list that I've given you that where lots of historical research has been done. The article as it currently stands says has this mention of participation of women in the organization, but without any citation except mentioning that maybe Emma Smith helped somewhat in the translation of the Book of Mormon from the plates. Now there is a substantial Relief Society page, which I'm sure we couldn't mess around with. So anything you'd want to add, you could be in addition to that if you want to talk about other issues that aren't included on that page. Doctrines, you could have, I guess we could try and do a doctrines regarding women, how plural marriage affected women in the early church, what meant, changes, whatever. The original page does mention that the Mormon Church was friendly to women in that it did away with the original sin, so if you could continue to pursue that as an idea. Mm-hmm. Temple ordinances and practices. There's several chapters in these books about mystics and healers and things that we don't normally talk about in church that you could provide lots of citations for because they've got them in this printed material. Frontier women in the 19th century. There's emigration to the valleys of Zion. There's immigration. Again, Leonard Arrington has one of the books. They've done a nice chapter on an early Italian convert who immigrated to Cardin. Lots of Cardins in Arizona and maybe other places in the church that came from that line. Settlements when they set out from Utah and how life is in Arizona and Idaho and St. George and so on. There's lots of women that participated in that. Health. You've got the midwives. You've got the women who were sent back to become physicians, to come back to by Brigham Young to come back. There were a lot of women involved in the suffrage women's movements early on for somewhat different reasons than the suffragettes in the East. But they were actively involved. They went back to conventions and so on, and those are mentioned in these books that I've mentioned earlier. Certainly some deal with plural marriage and women's participation in arts. Now, as far as the Relief Society goes, you could get into major projects like raising the silkworms and bees and the Relief Society on property, because the Relief Society page gives only one sentence that includes all of that. They don't give any detail on what Relief Society was like in the 19th century, and it certainly was different. So on this page, you could then link to the Relief Society page, but give more information about that. There is a page on Women's Exponent, and it says it was loosely affiliated with the Relief Society, and I guess that must be true. I don't know. I don't think there was a citation on that.
It was.
So there is an existing entry that you could just link to or provide additional information. Women in the 20th and 21st century, again, we could talk more about what's happened with the Relief Society and link it back to the original page. The Relief Society magazine is nowhere mentioned on the Relief Society page, so we could always bring in things that the official page has left out. I say official, you say it's not maintained by the church, but I imagine they watch that page pretty closely. So I don't know how hard it would be to get some of these things in and not have them vandalized, but it's worth trying, perhaps. Or maybe we would just want to concentrate on historical figures. I don't know. Describing the loss of independence of the Relief Society, if we can do that, keeping an academic tone. Women who became public figures, and Karen's going to talk a bit more about women, including women who were artists and writers and so on. So that I've included arts here and literature as something we would link to. And again, a little bit more. Then you could have this a link to a page on Mormon feminism. I know Lori's thinking about just linking it to Christian feminism.
That was my first wiki edit, actually. We'll see if it stands.
So
added it. Uh-huh. Well, I can tell it later. I don't want to intrude.
Well, you can link a page on Mormon feminism to two different locations anyway, so that wouldn't be an issue. And all the publications that the women have done, and both blogs that are feminist and mommy blogs, the groups that have, I mean, this is not an all-inclusive list. I did try to look up, put down every possible group and every possible publication and so on. I'm just giving a sampling here. Issues, now this is where we'd run into controversy, of course, and you have to have a lot of documentation. But yet, on the Mormon in Heaven, for instance, there is an entry there's a nice article in the Mormon Encyclopedia that, as Laurie said, is available in HTML format online as well as in the PDF form. And it actually uses two references. One of them was I can't remember if the first one is the song or if it was something else. I think it was a quote from Wilford Woodruff. The second reference used in that is the article by Linda Wilcox.
Yes.
So that's the Mormon Encyclopedia considered that a valid reference, and that certainly could be used for reference lots of the points made in it. But other people have written on Mormon Heaven since then, too. So there are lots of citations that could be used to make this a valid academic project to talk about some of the issues that Mormon feminists have. And as far as women in other churches of Latter-day Saint movement, I think all you would do is link to the Community of Christ page. You wouldn't make any statement that on the Women in Mormonism page. Well, no, it does say Women in Mormonism.
What you want is you want there's two there's a couple levels of articles. So there's Mormonism is the same as Latter-day Saint movement in Wikipedia. Then Women in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's what you'd have, and then you wouldn't have to worry about the...
Okay, was there one in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
I think you had both of them, but essentially that's how the articles are structured.
Okay.
So there's an overview article about the Latter-day Saint movement that'll be comparative, and then there's the in the LDS Church itself, and that's the article. And in terms of like the Relief Society one, if that one's even tanked down, there would be, you could always have history of the Relief Society, and that's where you can do almost all the things that you're talking about, and that would be a separate article.
Good. So we need to really think through the organization and get some good advice on how to make that work.
Yeah.
As far as the page Women in Mormonism gives a sentence or so about women in fundamentalist groups, but I don't think we would even want to say anything like that, and I doubt they have a web presence to link to, so I don't know what you'd do about that. The other topics to consider, other than the content and maybe the big thing would be how to organize it, but other things to consider, though, are really how much effort do you want to put into this? I already covered those two. The third bullet then, what additional information on Mormon women should we be trying to get into Wikipedia? I asked one friend about, I asked a number of friends what their experience was with Wikipedia, and one said, I kept an eye on one entry about Mormonism a few years ago and made a few changes. There was apparently one guy with an axe to grind about the topic, and he changed everything back the way he wanted it, whenever anyone made edits, and I just decided it wasn't worth my time to mess around with Wikipedia. So you've got that it's really a time suck, and I think you eventually decided that too, maybe, and went back to your publishing and your blogging more. So whether you've got some people who are willing to devote the time to it, but if we put citations, it's much more likely to...
Yeah, oh yeah.
References, it's much more likely to hold up. Also, maybe Lori mentioned the FAIR has decided not to fight the battle on Wikipedia, but to use their website. And maybe that's what we do instead, is try to develop more information on a stable website that can't be changed, and then try to figure out how to make a nice article in Wikipedia to link to it with just brief descriptions. Put more of the energy into the stable website and just some into Wikipedia so that it will find us. As far as implementation, how can we do that? Have we got enough power? Is it only going to be women power? Are we going to get men to think it might be one of the not the low importance item that occurs? If we could only just lift these other articles wholesale out of the books that I have at home, that'd be lovely. But unfortunately, they're copyright laws. We could try to contact some of the authors and editors and publishers and see about using it as is. Some of the authors might want to update it anyway. They may have ideas. Enlisting experts, maybe some of these reluctant, these older writers who wrote in the 70s are now my age, and they're late 60s and 70s even, and they may not want to mess around with Wikipedia, but they might be willing to actually rewrite a version if they can't get around the copyright and give it to somebody else who's willing to actually go put it on Wikipedia, where you have to give up the rights to it with this Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Is it a good idea to get a committee going, or just to let people tell people what's out there? And how can you? We are a far-flung church, and lots of people have different interests. There was an article just last week, a blog post, I should say, just last week on the Ms. Magazine blog, written by a woman who's a chemist, an academic chemist. And she described how they realized that in the chemistry area on Wikipedia, not only were their names not found anywhere, but there was all their research was not there. So they sat down as a group at a kind of a Wikipedia party and worked on it together as a group. So if you get to do that kind of thing, it can be supportive. That was the artwork that appeared on their blog. Certainly, there's a lot of stuff that's been printed that you can compile and rephrase using giving credit to the new printed material, as well as trying to look up some of their citations. As I said, collaborating groups possibly. Now, enlisting professors. Lori just mentioned the BYU Wiki Project.
Yeah.
Is that just strictly to get BYU?
It focuses on topics pertaining to BYU.
Only about BYU.
And general authorities, apparently.
Okay. Because if we can get the history professors, I think there's a lot of women history professors at BYU. If you can get them involved in maybe... getting students involved in it too to put their work, their academic work on it, that might be a source of woman power, and certainly encourage people who are celebrities or well-known people in Mormondom today to get their own information out there and their own topics of interest. And as Lori said, she'd love to hear from possible volunteers. What's that email address again?
girlsonwiki.org.
So, a lot of work to do.
Thanks.
So, there's some fantastic suggestions from Kay and some very helpful background from John as well. And I We'll start by talking about an organization. See if you can recognize the organization. Created by a charismatic and driven man with kind of an up and down business history, some allegations of issues with women. The organization has grown exponentially. It's exploded and has a stated goal of reaching the entire world. Staffed by enthusiastic, sometimes obsessive volunteers, many of whom spend several hours a week with this organization, and they want your money. There's some controversy about the editing of documents throughout this organization's history. Leaders within the organization have internal disciplinary procedures such that some violators of organizational norms are denied access to the community, and an organization which has struggled to incorporate women's voices. Are we talking about the LDS Church or are we talking about Wikipedia? Because every one of these descriptors applies to Wikipedia as well. Founded literally a decade ago by Jimmy Wales, explosive growth, internal disciplinary structure, and if you engage in reversion wars too often, you can be banned from, they hold a sort of, it's an internal disciplinary procedure, and you could be banned from participating in the community. And in a sense, Wikipedia, with the volunteer participation, becomes the ultimate fast and testimony meeting, where you can get up and talk about things that you know about and have people listen. Of course, they don't always revert you in fast and testimony meetings, but it comes in different ways.
Once in a while, the bishop tugs on your coattails.
So there are some striking similarities, and of course 15%, as reported in the New York Times, of articles on Wikipedia are written by women, making it the functional equivalent of the conference issue of the Ensign. It also has 15% articles by women. What do we learn about when we look at these two structures here? And in particular, how can we make things better? A common story, and I've told it often enough as an LDS feminist, is that women are denied access to voice within the LDS community by means of formal exclusion from the channels of power. Formal equality would be important, women receiving the priesthood, and this would allow women to participate. Who can participate in Wikipedia? Everybody. Who does participate in Wikipedia?
Men.
What does that say about feminism, about the goals of getting women's voices included in the conversation? And it's pessimistic in some ways and depressing, but it raises some important lessons. If I can get just a small poll of the room, how many of you in here have ever edited a Wikipedia article? Female. Wonderful. Our panelists.
Just.
Once.
We have a long way to go. And unfortunately, it may suggest that we don't need to just give women the priesthood, which would be a wonderful step forward, but also to change institutional norms, change conversational norms, because even an organization such as Wikipedia, which lacks the formal exclusion of women's voices, tends to be a male-dominated sphere. So what is it that silences women? I'm going to draw on a couple of scholars here who write in this area. Danielle Citrone writes about women and the internet and ways that internet discussion norms can silence women's voices. I'll start out with a... I'm going to summarize some of her descriptions of some of these discussions. Even the summaries require a trigger warning that these are incredibly awful discussions. And I'm not going to cite them verbatim, but this is... So in a well-known case which Danielle cites in her article, women were harassed on a message board with threats of rape, violence, gang rape. The statement, direct quote, she deserves to be raped. And finally, the statement that this person, and using her name, should have all of these violent statements propagated throughout the internet to drown out anything which she would say because, quote, we are not going to let that bitch have her own blog be the first result from Googling her name. incredible silencing of women's voices by anonymous participants in these message boards. Almost all, there have been lawsuits to uncover some of the participants. Some of these people are still fighting. They are anonymous participants, and they tend to be men who are engaged in abuse of women and silencing of women's voices. In another famous case, a woman had threats of being killed and then photoshopped pictures of her head in a noose, sent to her and plastered all over pages with her name on them, her address sent out on the internet, and there have been these silencing of women's voices. So sometimes the anybody can participate becomes a way to silence women. And we need to think about how that could be a potential problem. Now, Wikipedia has very, and it has norms which would not permit this kind of discussion, but there's still a perception, and again, you should definitely, I mean, Danielle Citrone, I'm paraphrasing a lot of her work, Citrone likes vodka, but she talks about how these sorts of discussion norms can be silencing for women's voices, and of course this leaves men, and men say, well, that's just how discussion is on the internet, which is an incredibly male-privileged sort of statement, like, well, this is just how it is, I'm male and I happen to like it that way, and which segues into a second technique which silences women's voices. Feminist blogs have labeled mansplaining, and mansplaining is, quoting from Shakespeare's Sister Shakespeare blog, when a dude tells you, a woman, how to do something you already know how to do, or how you are wrong about something you know you're right about, or miscellaneous and inaccurate facts about something you know a lot more about than he does, bonus points if he's explaining how you're wrong about something being sexist. So this is a sort of conversational tactic where male interlocutors enter conversations with women and say, sorry, little lady, let me tell you how it is. And because of the societal structure of male privilege in which we exist, this is a way in which women's voices are discounted and ultimately silenced. And is something which is less directly violent. It's not Danielle's article talking about threats of violent death and rape, but this is a similar sort of silencing of this of women's voices on the internet. There are other things which happen. Downplaying of women's contributions. A few weeks ago, the Deseret News runs an article relisting Leonard Arrington's list of top Mormon intellectuals from an article 40 years old. And of course, all of the listed intellectuals are male, perpetuating the idea that all of the important intellectuals in Mormon history are men. No one's ever heard of, you know, Laurel. No one's ever heard of Eliza. All the important people in Mormon intellectual history are men. And so, similarly, as Lisa Butterworth discussed in her panel, women who write about women's topics are told, you're not doing real discussion of Mormon studies. You're not doing real blogging on serious topics. You're just talking about women's issues. It becomes a sort of subcategory. There's the real issues of Mormonism, and then there's the women's issues. And it's a way to downplay the contributions of women, and again, valorize the contributions of men, and make the discourse continue in this women's silencing way. And finally, there's just a crowding out effect. Sometimes men can be loud, sometimes men can show up first, especially in technology areas where men are often early adopters, and then we can just yak. And there's no room for women to contribute. So how do we create a space which is really welcoming to women? Because until we create that sort of space, it's not enough to just give women the wicked priesthood, so to speak. We have to create discussion norms which allow for broader participation. Now, in some ways, Wikipedia is the perfect forum for women's participation. Yesterday's panel, talking about women on the internet and Mormon women, and about Mormon women as collaborative voices, Wikipedia is a collaborative project, and Mormon women want to collaborate. And we had this great panel about it yesterday. The metaphor, somewhat overused, but I think still accurate in a lot of ways, is the quilt. Mormon women working together on a project, and again, Wikipedia is a great forum for this to happen, and we've seen a success In blogging, where at least some Mormon women have been very successful at finding their voice in the blogging medium. How do we replicate this in Wikipedia? I think we do a few things. One is that we educate Mormon women about the norms of discussion on Wikipedia, that you don't do original research, but that doesn't mean that you don't read Mike Quinn's book and then summarize. And when you go to the Miracle of the Seagulls and say, like, you know, okay, in New Mormon history, it says that there's actually not contemporaneous evidence of the Miracle of the Seagulls, that's fine. That is not OR. OR is where you say, you know, based on my reading of, you know, William Law's journal, I think the following things have happened. And so it's fine to read Arrington, to read Laurel, to read various authors, and to summarize their work. And in fact, that's perfect. Be careful, because I think women, because of the way that women have been excluded from spaces, might be skittish and easily frightened off by editors who want to preserve the Wikipedia standard and say, no OR, cite your work, you know, keep it in the right format. But because of the way in which women have been denied access to these kinds of forums, I guess what we need is a bridge to allow for broader women's participation on Wikipedia. And I hope that we can do that. Internet discussion norms can be ultimately women silencing, and it's going to take serious effort to bridge those gaps and make Wikipedia a place where Mormon women can more effectively participate.
Thank you.
Maybe the problems, not solutions, most likely. And the topics I'm dealing with, which are art, Mormon literature and arts. Art not as controversial as those that have been suggested, I think, especially by Kay.
Speak a little louder.
Mormon literature and creative arts is a very unwieldy Wikipedia category because it includes innumerable, always changing items. It does not lend itself to easy categorization, and it raises very interesting questions like what is art, what is literature, what is Mormon art, what is Mormon literature. What I was interested in is how reliable is, if you were trying to find out about Mormon letters or Mormon art from Wikipedia, what would you find? How reliable would this information be? And if you type in, either into Google or into Wikipedia's search slots, Latter-day Saint with either spelling, you'll see a link to the first of the pages on your handout, the first of your start items, which was launched by this Compton person in 2004. And it has been edited occasionally in the past 7 years. It generally seems slanted toward faithful works of art. The written word is much better represented and much more widely represented than other art forms. Parallel, unambiguous categories are not fort of Latter-day Saint arts and culture. But the contributors do at least make an effort to deal with LDS art, which is very hard to find anything about, really, if you try to search it that way. The subcategory, Latter-day Saint artists, has one subcategory of its own. Here we get into the messy categories. You kind of just want to redo all of the categories. But we come up with a fairly small number of people. There are 14 persons and another 22 persons under another category. All but three of the individual artists on these pages are painters, photographers, architects, or sculptors. There's one cartoonist, there are two musicians who don't seem really to belong on those pages. The writers subcategory of the Latter-day Saints arts and culture page is broken into American LDS writers, Mormon bloggers, editors of LDS publications, and LDS hymn writers. Besides the 43 writers listed on the page, there are 168 listed under the subcategory American LDS writers, chosen because they are notable for writing on LDS-related topics. Almost all of these deal with Mormons, even though it's under this particular one is under the LDS, the Latter-day Saint Project. These individuals include, there's a lot of diversity, Bruce McConkie and Todd Compton, Eliza R. Snow, Linda King Newell, Gerald Lund, and Levi Peterson. There's an enormous number of very obvious omissions. The page was created in February of 2010 by somebody named Jim Nijo, who identifies himself as this. And I was very interested in finding the background of some of their, finding what people gave us as the background, their backgrounds, who were doing the editing and the launching of these pages. This individual describes himself as a politically conservative Buddhist Shintoist university student living in Kyoto. He says he is skeptical of anthropogenic global warming, opposes gay marriage, advocates the death penalty, believes in the power of violence, admires Ronald Reagan and George Bush. Is he putting this on? I only know that this person's name, this user's name, appears as a contributor for many, many Wikipedia sites and many sites that I was researching in my work for this. He indicates no background or connection to either Mormonism or literature or art, however. If you wanted to use this Wikipedia page, this first one that I've asterisked here, to learn more about LDS fiction, you might click on that subcategory, and you would find a very peculiar page, which includes a link to another LDS fiction page, a link to the Whitney Awards, and nine other items which are very, very non-representational, and which show basically kind of what the people who contributed to like. There's a series here, a series there, a series here, and two stories by Orson Scott Card that were published in the 70s. So it's just a strange sort of combination. It's a very weird page. The more competent LDS fiction page, which I also kind of enumerated there, was launched in June of 2004 by Frank, who labels himself as a Salt Laker in exile, a liberal Mormon with other interests too, and an arbitrator in Wikipedia. He started the LDS Wiki project. Trained as a chemist, he lists no specific connections to Mormon literature and art, but the page has been edited almost constantly by a great number of Wikipedia editors, some of whom have literary connections. So this is as good as you get here on this page, practically. The article makes a valiant attempt to cover fiction by Mormons from the 19th century through the current time. Writer whose audiences range from Mormon to general, and whose religious views range from, as they say, faithful to lost. And lost was very interesting to me. I think basically it just means not trying to be faithful. Or not being dogmatic, maybe, I don't know. These last labels aren't always convincingly applied. The most exhaustive discussion of any individual writer is that of science fiction and fantasy writer Orson Scott Card. Note the range of some of the other fiction writers included in the notable LDS fiction writer section. Glenn Beck. Did you know he has published a memoirish novel and a mystery? Brady Udall, although only his 2010 book, The Lonely Polygamist, is mentioned. Newbery honoree Shannon Hale, vampire saga is Stephanie Myers, and inspirational fiction writer Jack Whalen. Only two references are listed at the end of the article. They're both BYU Studies articles, one by Gene England and one by Ed Gary. Not all the links are viable. Judith Freeman's Wikipedia page, for example, has nothing to do with the author of The Chinchilla Farm and Red Water. Although this was probably the most useful of the general Mormon fiction and arts pages, Wikipedia indicates that it needs additional citations for verification. And this was about the best. The LDS poetry page is a much more slapdash affair. Launched in 2007 by someone no longer involved with Wikipedia, it has been edited only 42 times. 14 notable LDS poets are mentioned, only 8 of whom have Wikipedia pages of their own. 4 of these 8 are long-dead hymn writers. The second asterisk item there is the Wikipedia list of Latter-day Saints, which was begun in August of 2004 by Wikipedia user Gilgamesh, who identifies himself as a gay Mormon of the liberal social democrat variety who has a frequently strained relationship with the church and is frequently at odds with the Jell-O belt culture. Included in this list is a short list of LDS artists, only 12 individuals, most of whom have been included in previously mentioned easier-to-find Wikipedia artist article. If one continues down this Wikipedia list of Latter-day Saints, one comes to a list of 20 writers and artists under the heading of media and entertainment figures. About half of these writers and artists have national reputations. The two artists are cartoonists. 2 of the writers are journalists. 4 are fantasy writers. 2 are writers of young people's books. Included also are 3 best-selling fiction writers, Scott Card, Stephanie Meyer, and Ann Perry. Poet, playwright, nonfiction writer, Carolyn Pearson. Religious writer, Terrell Givens. Business writer, Stephen Covey. Jeopardy Prize winner Ken Jennings, this is obviously not a representational source for serious Mormon literature. The page is, however, frequently edited. If in your Wikipedia search for Mormon literature you type in either Mormon literature or Latter-day Saint literature or LDS literature, you will indeed have the option to choose a Wikipedia article called Mormon Literature, the third starred item on your handout. Launched in March of 2009 by Eric Jepson, who is a fiction writer and English teacher, and he edited the, if you saw the Sunstone graphics comic issue, he also has connections to art. He edited that. This page includes Wikipedia links to LDS fiction, LDS poetry, Mormon folk music, Mormon music, the Association for Mormon Letters, the Motley Vision, which is a blog, and the Mormon blogosphere. It provides a useful external link, the Mormon Literature and Creative Arts Database, as well as a link to the updated Mormon Literature website, both begun by BYU professor Gideon Burton. And this database that you're referred to is quite useful. It includes, it doesn't do anything with artists, but it does list 7,830 people who are writers of some sort, an enormous variety, President Monson and Neil LaBute, you can't get them all names in that, Margaret Thatcher. There are all kinds of other listings. Unlike most of the other Wikipedia contributors and editors on Mormon Arts and Letters, the editor of this page is knowledgeable about the topic. Over a period of several years, he launched 21 carefully researched pages and made between 1,500 and 2,000 edits, many on Mormon arts and literature articles. What motivated him to do this? This is what he said. Partially because I wanted information on significant Mormon arts topics to be available for anyone to find. Partly because being able to start an article in the world's premier encyclopedia, then argue for its continuance, demonstrates that Mormon art matters to the culture as a whole. Partly because it's a pretty dandy place just to keep info I would like to know about later. Partly in hopes that further Wikipedia editors would expand the articles and make them better. This has happened on a number of occasions, happily. In February of 2011, a Wikipedia user calling himself RNA launched a new Wikipedia article with the title of Mormon Literature and Creative Arts, and that's the fourth thing. And its apparent purpose is just to refer you to the BYU database that I've just mentioned before. The quality of Wikipedia pages for individual Mormon writers and poets, some of whom are referenced on the more generic Mormon literature pages, varies widely. If the writer or someone attached to the writer keeps up the writer's own webpage, then the Wikipedia article on that writer tends to be more accurate and complete. I won't give you any of my examples here. But obviously, people like Scott Card and Stephanie Myers have webmasters running their page, and they make sure that all the Wikipedia pages are right up to date, too. People like Doug Thayer even manages to keep up his own webpage and keeps up his Wikipedia page. But most people don't do that. Most of the Wikipedia pages for individual Mormon writers and poets are woefully inadequate, and they're labeled stubs by Wikipedia in need of more information and correction. The most obvious reason that Wikipedia is not a very trustworthy source for information about Mormon arts and letters is that few knowledgeable individuals have had the time for and energy and resources to keep researching and updating the articles. Eric Jepson, for example, now only makes occasional Wikipedia edits. He has shifted his allegiance to another project with two other web-savvy Mormons, librarian Kirstie Christensen and writer Mariah Jovan, whose real name is Elizabeth Beaton, who's downstairs, I guess, in another panel right this very minute, on Christensen's own Mormon Arts Wiki. And that's the last item start on your page. She began this in 2009, but she hasn't continued it, so it's kind of a 2009-2010 wiki. She's a data librarian at the University of Maine in Orono, and some people have continued to add material, however, to these pages, and her plan is to move this to a better site, a site that has, if it does have ads, has ads at least relating to arts and letters and books. Since her expertise is in cataloging, she actually has some chance of actually hitting on something pretty presentable. What she does that the others haven't done, which would be nice a Wikipedia thing could do too, I suppose, is it calls attention, she calls attention to things that would be upcoming events relating to arts and letters, exhibits, conferences, all kinds of prizes, productions, contests, all kinds of things like that. She has a very large writers category. She has categories for poets, playwrights, screenwriters, and then she has this big writers category for everybody else. It has 195 people in it, and it's a little strange, but it's not bad. Okay, my conclusions are that unless more Wikipedia editors, more informed Wikipedia editors, either launch new articles or are willing to supplement and correct and update the current articles, Wikipedia is only a sporadically useful source for information about Mormon writers and a very poor source for information about Mormon artists. The individuals who have interest and ability in doing this seem to be directing their attention outside Wikipedia to private wikis, which may become a better source of information.
Well, we have a few minutes for some questions or comments if anybody would like to.
Is there any information on usage of Wikipedia? To what extent do women use it? How often? How and versus men?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Everyone uses Wikipedia.
That's what I was going to say. Every
week I'm in there for something.
Pardon?
I'm in there every week for something.
Anecdotally, we use a lot.
Everybody
does. Right. No, I would be interested in having a survey to know just how frequently, how intensively.
We don't have the data.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know.
Any other questions or comments?
If I could just say one comment.
I have a quick question for Don. I'm curious about this process about the arbitration. How much of a kickback does it take to start a so-called controversy on an article? Does one person saying, I don't agree with this?
You can flag an article to start lodging a complaint is really easy. And so getting those things where you want to have like citation or where you're saying that this is using weasel words and that kind of thing, those kind of things, where there's no citations on this article, those kind of things are easy to get started.
They're a tactic in the wiki wars for some people.
Yeah, it's very easy to get the ball rolling on something like that. It's harder when you're doing a merge where you're saying, I don't think that this article is worth existing and it needs to be deleted. Then that has to go through a little bit longer process of discussion, and it goes through, you know, where the people on the project will be called in to have voting, and there'll be, you know, people will argue on both sides. So those kind of things are harder. Now, the lower the status or the lower the controversy of the article, you can just make the less anybody's watching it, then changes are a lot easier. So on big high status articles like Joseph Smith, it's really hard to do anything to them. But on if we were to you were mentioning citing Relief Society, might be a one that's a little bit more difficult to deal to edit. Although everything that you suggested doing, once it starts being done and you have a footnote, that's not gonna get deleted. You know, or in other words, that'll hold. But like you say, in terms of starting the controversy kicked off, it's really quite easy. It doesn't usually have to get kicked up to where they're actually calling in either arbiters who are not part of the project or who are experts. I've seen, you know, it depends on how bad the war gets.
If people want to get started and jump into Wikipedia, are there people with the project Latter-day Saint Movement who are willing to take people by the hand and say...
Yeah, I think that would be one of the best ways to get going is because you have to have a certain level of familiarity with it. I mean, I kind of was trying to describe even my process of getting involved, which was kind of the slow, I kind of got used to it. I made hesitant changes that were kind of, in some cases, they should have been reverted away, you know. But if that first happens to you, then you're like, wait a second, you know, I mean, or where people criticize you, then maybe, you know, maybe that would be a bad first case, you know, scenario. So like you're saying, a welcoming... One of the things you might do once you create a login and to get going with it is go over to, you know, click onto a thing where you get to Latter-day Saint Movement, and you can go to the discussion board there and say, look, I this is my background. I'm very interested in adding more, let's say, on Mormon women biographies. And I just would love to have some helpful hints and pointers and you, hopefully you'll find fellowship when you do it. I mean, obviously in any volunteer organization you can walk in and not find fellowship, but hopefully there will be somebody. I had a lot of people who immediately actually came and invited me into the project, and post it on my little talk board, hey, I love how what you're doing. You should be doing this, you know, this kind of thing. You know, but it depends on
it's
the...
It's helpful.
Yeah.
Well, the other point I definitely want to make before we leave is that Girls Gone Wiki, my personal project, and we're not suggesting here either that women don't jump into all topics in this case, more our focused attention here is Mormonism, that we're encouraging women to participate in the full range of discussions, not just women's topics.
Right.
And one of, two things. First, be the change. I mean, if you heard anything that I said or John said or Kay said or Kay, and you're like, wow, that's terrible. There's probably not a great good page on Minerva Tiger. Look it up. If there is, you know, if there's a gap, work on, but do it. Take a look at the community norms first. Take a look at the page history. How has this been edited? How did it get to where it's at now? Take a look at the talk page. Is there a controversy that's happening right now that you're going to step on inadvertently? So that, you know, just take a moment to figure out the community norms first, and you'll be much more effective and a much better contributor ultimately.
I think we have to go. Thanks so much.
Let's take a picture of the group.